This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's a special edition of the podcast. For one thing, it is episode 150. 150. For another thing, I just got a call from my wife. We are getting together with her parents tonight to celebrate her birthday. And they're actually getting to the restaurant earlier than I thought. I was planning on getting away from work to have enough time to do this before I got to the restaurant at 5:30. And then we had something come up just as I was leaving that I needed to check, and so it was 5:10, so I was thinking, oh, well, that's no problem, because I get 20 minutes, which is about normal podcast, da-da-da-da-da, be great. Then I just got a call from her that they're all heading to the restaurant. So I thought I'd still do this now while I can still see my notes. And this will be a little shorter than normal because of that. It is episode 150. I won't give you the update on all of the writing that all goes well. People are responding back. It's good. Everything's great. This week, I had finished up the book The End of Illness by David B. Agus, I think is his name, A-G-U-S. It's called The End of Illness. It's a very interesting book. Very interesting book. And it's always good when, you know, a book backs up what you've been thinking. So one of the things I liked about the book is that a lot of stuff I've been thinking about, you know, the body as a system and how that if we're looking for nutrition, we need to go to what God made for us to eat and, you know, do that, and processed food's not good, all that kind of stuff. Some of that stuff, obviously, is not original with Dr. Agus, but he does have some extra interesting things. And there's a bunch of different things that I might be talking about over the next couple of weeks from the book. You know, he has some bullet points at the beginning in introducing the book, things like how taking multivitamins and supplements could significantly increase our risk of cancer over time. Significantly increase our risk of cancer, taking vitamins and supplements. Why sitting down most of the day despite a strenuous morning workout can be as bad or worse than smoking. How sneaky sources of daily inflammation from high heels to the common cold can lead to a fatal heart attack or even rob us of our sanity. How taking shortcuts to health via blending fruits and vegetables and sometimes even by purchasing what we think is fresh could be shortchanging our health. And the most important thing we can do today to preserve our health. So anyways, since our time is short, I will ramrod through this specifically. I thought it very interesting as to what he had to say about food. He was quoting Michael Pollan to begin with in his book Defense of Food, and he was saying, this is a brilliant quote, that anyone should need to write a book advising people to eat food should be taken as a measure of alienation and confusion in our society. Yes. The fact that this guy has to write a book to say eating food is good for you definitely shows how far we've come as a society. Real food, fruits, vegetables, that sort of thing. What's interesting is that Dr. Agus goes through this progression where he talks about food and the body processes of oxidation and how that oxidation is a normal process and that vitamins are part of this process and burning or consuming our food, turning our food into energy is part of this process, and the body actually has mechanisms to deal with oxidation and to deal with these free radicals that are produced as part of the process. And in fact, the body uses the measurement of those free radicals as part of its balancing process to keep everything in place. And he talks about the fact that while it is true that we have seen that people who develop certain diseases are deficient in certain types of vitamins, in fact, when we try to do the studies to establish that taking these vitamins then causes that condition to be alleviated, he said that's not necessarily true, because what you're consuming in terms of supplements is not really the same thing as getting real food from real vitamins from food. And he quoted a bunch of studies. I'm driving down a side street because I'm taking a circuitous route to get to the restaurant, so I have just a few more minutes. But he quoted some really interesting studies about all of this that I'll just hop over to. Okay. Says, not surprising, our body has its own way of keeping free radicals in check. It harbors a store of enzymes that can neutralize them. Blah, 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 blah. And the vitamins that we get in our diet, A, C, E, also help, okay? And one of his big points is this. When it comes to the intricate human body, you cannot do one thing to affect one thing. I've talked about the fact that science really comes in three waves, in my opinion. The first wave is when we don't realize how complex things are, and so we look at things and we build clay models of things and we say, oh, see, I made a dog out of clay. See, God isn't that big of a deal. He made dogs, but I just can't make mine move. So once I get that figured out, I'll be just like God. Okay, and then the next step is when we start to see how complex it is. Then we get intimidated, and so we push God away. And we say, well, it all just happened. It all just happened. And then the third wave is when we start realizing that, in fact, things are horrifically complex and extraordinarily and beautifully balanced. And it gets to the place where it just seems absurd that this could all come about by itself. And we're starting to move that direction in the biological systems. One of these weeks, I'm going to talk about a movie that I saw on a TED Talk that was just phenomenal. It was breathtakingly beautiful. Had to do with how the cells divide and how the chromosomes in the cells know when to split up and how they know when to stop it. I mean, it was absolutely stunning, to the place that the people in the TED Talk, as this was going on and the guy was narrating it, there were these bursts of laughter and shock, and the people are just looking at this thing and they're watching this visualization of this beautiful machine working. And they were stunned, and it just amused them, like, wow. So it's very important to realize that the human body is extremely complex. And as he says, you can't affect one thing. You cannot do just one thing to affect one thing. There's all these cascading things that are happening. And what Dr. Agus proposes is that when you take vitamins and supplements, not that you have a real deficiency that you need to fix, but you're just like taking a vitamin or a supplement just to sort of top off your vitamins. When you do that, you're actually throwing your body out of whack. Because your body is getting enough vitamins from the food, and when you throw it out of whack, it thinks you're doing something crazy, and it then tries to compensate in ways. So he quotes these studies, like that there was a vitamin E and beta carotene study that was trying to figure out if taking those could help prevent cancer. So they did this study jointly between the U.S. National Cancer Institute and the National Institute of Health and Welfare in Finland from 1985 to 1993, where they gave one group E and beta carotene, another just beta carotene, the other just E, and another group placebos. And they tracked them to find out how they did, cancer preventions, all that kind of stuff. They stopped people, just stopped them cold from taking the supplements in 1993. And the reason they stopped them was because beta-carotene's report card wasn't looking good. It said men who took it in supplement form had an 18% increase in incidence of lung cancers and an 8% overall increase in mortality. And they tracked them afterwards, and once they got off the supplements, it eventually settled back down. But there was a definite, verifiable increase in the amount of cancer these people are getting because they're taking supplements. Because you just can't do one thing to affect one thing in the human body. And he's got other studies where there's some big health food claim like lycopene out of tomato sauce that it can provide, you know, provide protection against cancer. And so then they feed people lycopene for a while in tomato sauce, and it just doesn't hold up. Beyond all that, and I'm getting close to the restaurant, so I got to rush forward. Beyond all that, he starts talking about juicers, which I've done a little juicing, and it tastes very good, and it's good, but my thing with juice has always been, wow, you are really concentrating a lot of that, and would you actually do that in the real world? You know, would you sit down and eat 10 oranges in a row? But you can knock back that much orange juice. Now, with orange juice and apple juice, I was always concerned about the sugar content, the fructose content. But, you know, I mean, with vegetables and things, I'm thinking, well, you know, vegetables, that's pretty good. Maybe I should juice some vegetables. And then I started reading this guy's book. And he got to this section, and I thought, you know, hey, I agree with that. So let me just read you the little quote. Let me read you a little quote that he had. Here's some things that's very interesting. When he starts talking about this process of juicing, and one of the things that he pointed to as an interesting thing to consider is that wine growers are exceptionally aware of grapes' fragility once they have been plucked from their stems. He says the top-tier vintners will only create wine using grapes that have spent very little time, sometimes just minutes, going from the vineyard to the winery where the processing commences. The difference in taste is tremendous. Okay? So, he's talking about the question that he asks himself with juices. And he says, here's what I ask myself when I peer into the rich colors of a juicy blend. Does the body really like consuming 10 carrots at once, or a whole head of broccoli? I noted that if I were to eat those things whole, I wouldn't consume that much, and I might feel a bit sick if I tried. But the more important question is to ask whether the original nutrients in the fruits and vegetables, which now are comprised in a tall glass of juice, are in fact the same. And he says, I don't think they are. Now, he doesn't have any scientific proof for this. He says, but I don't think they are. And here's why. As soon as we expose the inner flesh of a fruit or vegetable to the oxygen-rich air, guess what? We oxidize it on the spot in fractions of a second, especially if we subject the fruit or vegetable to the disruptive power of a blender. We change its whole makeup and the nutrition that went with it. See, it's very interesting to me. You can't take shortcuts. You just need to eat real food. Now, he did also go over this problem of, well, yeah, we need to eat real food, but you go to the grocery store and the stuff that you supposedly get that's fresh, yeah, it's been sitting out. It was picked weeks ago. You know, it's been, yeah, I mean, it's been in essence rotting since it was cut off and its nutrients have been draining out. What he says is multiple studies have shown that, in fact, there's better nutrition in frozen fruits and vegetables than in a lot of the fresh fruits and vegetables that are trucked in everywhere all over from the nation. Now, if you can buy local, great. But if you can't buy local, he says you should really look into getting frozen fruits and vegetables and eating them that way. Obviously, you cook them in a microwave or you steam them, and then you eat them that way. He said because overall, they will actually have higher nutrition than simply getting stuff out of the produce aisle. Now, if it's a question of whether you're going to eat chips or whether you're going to eat produce out of the produce aisle, obviously produce out of the produce aisle is better. But apparently, flash frozen foods are then better than fresh produce if you're buying your fresh produce from chain stores. Now, if you can get your fresh produce local, recently harvested from a local farmer, great. So I've actually been adjusting. I've actually been adjusting my eating habits and my buying habits to go more towards frozen foods. And it's not bad. I know some people don't like microwaves, but I pop it in the microwave, in the bag, cook it up, put it into a bowl, you know, eat the whole bag of vegetables, leave the rest in the freezer, and just pop them out as I need them. So anyways, sorry for the short podcast. The upshot of all this for me is that God's a good designer. God knows what he's doing. And when he made fruits and vegetables for us and meats for us to eat, those kind of things, that's what we should eat. You know, we probably shouldn't puree a bunch of junk and then try to knock that back, or juice a bunch of junk and try to knock that back. And we probably shouldn't be taking high doses of vitamins and supplements if we don't have a specific medical condition where we need them. And I have to go because I have to go to my wife's birthday dinner. So, this is Phil Ferrand. I did not make it home, but I am at the restaurant, and I have to go. Have a great week. Talk to you later.